this and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
From Park Sterling Realty in Bronxville, Westchester Talk Radio presents Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro. This is Jim Cleefield speaking. We're produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Northeast Environmental.
Where it's worth the earth, Jim.
Thank you, Matt. Matt Kane, our great engineer. Don't forget, you can join us on Westchester Talk Radio's app and download it through the iTunes at free app store, Westchester Talk. Like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and please follow us on Instagram. We are at Shark Creative. And now, here's your host, Leah Caro.
Thanks, Jim. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 5 of Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro. I, of course, am Leah Caro, president at Park Sterling Realty. We are based in beautiful Bronxville Village, but we serve Westchester, Putnam, and Bronx counties. Here we are, episode 5. It's just after Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day to you all. I hope you had a great weekend. If you missed our first 4 episodes or broadcasts, they can always be found at westchestertalkradio.com. Scroll down to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro, and you'll see all 4 of them there. And we've had some previous shows that have just been great and really worth a listen. Assessors and contractors and bankers and all the people who or bring the ancillary goods and services to what we do every day. So that being said, my quick disclaimer is that if you're already working with a real estate agent, please take their advice. If you're not, call me. And that every market is different. So what's happening at your house on your street may be slightly different than what's happening to someone else on that their house on their street. And so there's my disclaimer for the day. So where are we with the market? Well, it is after Memorial Day, which I think we all consider the unofficial start of summer, even though summer is still 22 days away. And so what's with the spring market? Well, the spring market is still going strong, and it's still kind of a tale of two markets being divided down the middle by the high end and the mid-range. Inventory is still very, very low on the mid-range, and it is what we are calling still a seller's market. On the high end, what we're defining as a million and above, inventory is higher, and we are defining that overwhelmingly still as a buyer's market. In fact, here's some quick numbers for you. There are about 3,000 houses for sale in all of Westchester County. So this entire county has about 3,000 houses for sale, half of which are over $1 million. Those are the ones where if you're a buyer looking to buy a substantial home, now is the perfect time to do it. And if you're a seller looking to sell a mid-range home, it's the perfect time to do it. But check with your realtor if you have one, and if you don't have one, call me. So timing, let's talk about the timing, because, you know, it is June 1st just about, and even though it's still a strong spring market, that's not going to last forever. So how do you know if is it too late to list if you haven't gotten onto the market yet, or if you're already on the market and haven't sold, you know, what's your next play? So I think what you need to remember is that many, many buyers like to close and be living in their new home for the start of the school year. Now, that doesn't mean that every family or every buyer is completely involved with the school calendar. They may not have children at all, but lots of buyers are looking to move within the school calendar. So they want to be settled and living in their house, let's say, by September 1st, which really is not too far away. So how long does it take to close a house in Westchester County? Well, it depends on your financing, and it depends on how what you've negotiated as the process. But it's safe to say that closing a house in Westchester takes anywhere from 45 to 90 days. So if you want to assume that you should be closed by September 1st and that the quickest you can get a closing done is 45 days, you absolutely have to be in a contract with a buyer by July 15th at the outside. Which means that if it's going to take longer than 45 days, you better get with the program now. So have you missed the market? No. Is it too late? No. But now really is the time to act. So if you're a seller who thought, well, I'm going to get my house together and get it ready for the spring market, it's not too late, but the timing is right now. And if you're on the market, and I want to talk about that with our guest in a minute, but if you're already on the market and you're unsold, you have about 6 weeks to make it sold if you want to sell this year in the spring market, because the spring market's really going to end around July 15th. So what does that mean? You came on in March, maybe, and your house is unsold, and you know what? Talk to your realtor, but I can tell you that it's probably time to adjust the price. You need to do something compelling with your property in the next 6 weeks to make the buyers that are out there buy your property in time for the school calendar. So other than price changing, and I'm a big proponent of that, if your house hasn't sold yet, I'm sure that's a big part of it. But what else can you do to your house? Well, today we're going to have a special guest with us, Deborah Kling, a professional color consultant, who is going to talk a little bit about what colors are most advantageous for, you know, getting your house ready to sell or to make a change to it while you're trying to sell it, and also trends and what's cool and what's hip and where we're going with color and what to do and what not to do. So I'm really excited to be bringing her to you today. So that'll be in just a moment. And, you know, I think that it's always important to remember that the market is, you know, we tell sellers all the time, it's not that your house isn't great. It's not that the buyers don't appreciate your house. Here's a phrase I want you to remember. The market is not responding to what you are seeking. And that really takes the sting out of it, because no seller wants to think they have an ugly baby, right? So we're not going to tell you have an ugly baby, and the buyers aren't going to tell you that either. But here's the phrase you have to remember. The market is not responding to what you are seeking, which is the same thing as you really need to make a price adjustment. So if you're already on the market, after you've listened to this broadcast, go call your realtor and have a discussion about that. And if you're not yet on the market but want to get on the market and the time is now, give me a call, 914-337-1234. So we're just getting Deborah all set up, and we're going to talk color in 1 minute, and we're going to take our first break, and we'll be right back with Deborah Kling, color consultant.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit safesecurevinyl.com.
Welcome back to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro. I, of course, am Leah Caro. I'm the president at Park Sterling Realty. We are headquartered in beautiful Bronxville Village, serving Westchester, Putnam, and Bronx counties. With me today is Deborah Kling, who is a professional color consultant, which is something that just blows my mind. And I think is intelligent and smart and funny and just brings so much to the idea of color that we never think about. And I'm so excited to be talking with her today. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Leah. What a pleasure to be at Park Sterling Realty today. I'm very excited about this show. There's so much we can offer in terms of color. I think there's so much we can contribute to knowledge in the real estate market.
I think so, too. So I went anecdotally, mm-hmm. You know, little kids always have a favorite color, right?
Yes.
So when my son, who's now 13, was, you know, at that age, 4 or 5, he would say, Mommy, what's your favorite color? Mm-hmm. And this poor kid, I always answered, it depends. Well, do you mean a color for a car? Do you mean a color for my house? Do you mean a color for my shirt? Do you mean a color for flowers? You know, I never had just one favorite color, because I think color crosses kind of spectrums, and what I may love orange for flowers, but I don't know if I want to wear, you know, an orange hat.
You're very unusual, Leah, because about 70% of people would respond blue is their favorite color.
Really?
Yes. It's by far the most popular color stated when a person is just asked, you know, off the cuff, spontaneously, what is your favorite color? The vast majority of Americans will say blue.
Really? And yeah. That's, I didn't even know that. I would have thought red for some reason, but uh-huh. They do say blue.
Well, red's a happy color.
Oh, so does that mean that 70% of Americans are depressed?
Maybe they're bankers, because actually blue is the color of authority. So you might notice when you're looking around, even here in Bronxville, I see that banks often have blue awnings, right? Because we're supposed to trust banks, and there's symbols of authority to us. Many major corporations, IBM comes to mind, has a blue logo. So colors do mean different things to different people, and there's great psychological content to color.
You know, our logo, our awning and our logo are blue.
See,
here at Park
so
Sterling
we trust
Realty.
You.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm glad speaking with you today.
So when I was just talking, giving a quick market update a minute ago before we went to break, mm-hmm. and I was discussing that, you know, the spring market's got about 6 weeks left if people uh-huh. are looking to sell before the school year. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, price adjustment might be one thing they should consider if they're unsold yet. But they might also, you know, take another look at their house and maybe make some changes. And color and paint, I think.
Curb appeal.
Mm-hmm. So can you and I talk for a minute about maybe somebody who's either already on the market mm-hmm. or is thinking of getting on the market now to sell? What are we doing with color and what should they be doing?
I think the most important thing to convey when you're a seller is probably that this house is really loved. So it may not hinge upon specific colors that you use, say, on the exterior of your house, but you want your house to look really cared for. So, of course, if you have a color that really pops on a front door, and there have been many articles written about this, like a sunny yellow front door is popular now, a lemon yellow front door, a red front door is probably the most common colorful front door you'll see. Today's trends include royal blue front doors and navy blue front doors and shiny front doors. I mean, I think regardless of the color you choose for a front door, having a freshly painted front door shows that you really love your house, and that translates into someone else can love it too.
So if I have black shutters on my house, I can have a different color front door.
Absolutely.
And the trim on my house, none of that has to match.
If it's black.
If it's not black?
Well, first of all, we often compare the front door to a man's tie. So the main color of the house would be the man's suit jacket. That would be the body color or the siding color. The accent color is his shirt, so that might be window and door moldings and trim. And we always say the front door is like the tie. So with the front door, you can have a little fun.
Got it. Okay, and a fresh coat of paint no matter what?
Well, fresh coat of paint never hurts.
Always works. And is there anything else outside before we even step through the front door? So mm-hmm. we've the front door, a nice pop of color yellow, I'm hearing is really good.
Lemon yellow
and fresh
works
and shiny.
Works well with gray because we've got lots of gray houses out there in the suburbs right
we
now.
We do. And would that look good, do you think, with stucco?
Sure.
Because we have a lot of stucco houses, not just clapboard.
Right. Well, I think you need to be careful when you choose a yellow color because although it's popular, it's also a color with which people commonly make mistakes. Like if you think about it, I'm sure you've passed on the street a bright, bright yellow house and you've said to yourself, I know they didn't intend it to be that bright.
Yes.
It happens with blue houses too, commonly,
I can actually
right?
think of the house, the exact house.
Right. So I always recommend some experimenting and some sampling on the door itself because your front door has a specific orientation, which may not be the same orientation as the house that you admired with a yellow door.
Ah, so orientation, you mean the way it faces, east, west,
the direction
north, south.
That your house faces, right? So when you perceive color, fully 50% of what you are seeing is the light in your own space interacting with that hue. So hue is green, blue, purple. But 50% of how you perceive that hue is the lighting in your space. And outdoors, it has to do with the orientation of your home, the landscaping. Are we in sun and shade? Are we on a front porch and under a ceiling? So there are many, many elements that would affect how you perceive that yellow front door.
You know, and that just got complicated for me because I thought, wow, yellow front door, boom, I can do that. But uh-huh. now it's not so easy.
Well, you don't want a garish yellow front door, for example.
No, so this is why you're so important because I'm saying to myself, well, now what? I go to the paint store and buy 50 different colors of yellow?
Right.
Or I call you. So let's not step past the front door for a minute.
Okay.
Tell me about how you work and what you bring to consumers, whether they're sellers or owners or whatever.
So exteriors are particularly interesting because there are very few people who are experienced in exterior color anywhere. And here in Westchester County, I actually think I'm one of few who's not an architect. And even then, architects might call me to help them. But so what should we consider?
I'm going to paint my front door yellow.
Okay.
I couldn't begin to start knowing what shade of yellow. So I call Deborah Klein, color consultant, and say, hey, Deborah, I need you to help me. How does that, now what?
So what
next?
Is the process?
Yeah.
So normally I go to a client's home for the first visit, which I call the initial consultation. And at that visit, I'm interested not only in the architectural style of your home, the orientation of the home, how your home is situated on its property, but I'm interested in your preferences. What's going on with your neighbors' houses? How do you want your house to fit in or not fit in with the community? Can we even see a neighbor's house from your front door? But it's very, very important that a home reflect its homeowner. Right, I always say it's not about me, it's about the client. So if they love blue or they've always dreamed of having an orange front door, I normally say then you should have it because you'll love it and you'll really enjoy it, whether it's on the market or not.
So we hear a lot about when your people are getting their homes ready for sale to depersonalize it. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to bring you in to help me get it ready for sale. Should I still do the you're telling me maybe it's okay not to depersonalize it?
It's okay if what you've, first of all, vibrant and fun front doors for the right style of architecture, I think will always help sell a home, regardless of the color. Because again, it shows that someone really thought about this. Someone really loved this house. And if they love this house, I can love it too. I always say it almost translates into, if this house is well taken care of, then the boiler must work.
You know what? And that's such a great, because I think we do make that assumption.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay, now let's go back. So we're outside. We've painted the front door yellow, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we paint the mailbox.
That's a good idea. It depends on what your
mailbox,
my mailbox is,
looks like, I
right?
suppose. Okay.
Right.
So we want to make sure that, do we need to...
Great house numbers are important. Today there are great modern house numbers that we don't often think of here in Westchester, but they're starting to be more commonplace. So there are California-style modern house numbers that I think can really help sell a home to a younger family.
That, you know, that's a terrific idea. We talk a lot with our sellers about what to do to get the house ready.
Right.
House numbers was never on my list. It is now.
They're great house numbers. You know, they're metallic and they're very large, unlike the small traditional house numbers that we're used to probably in Bronxville.
Yeah, for sure.
And they really scream out, you know, I'm really with it.
I'm really cool.
I'm a cool house.
Yeah,
right.
Come from Brooklyn. Buy me.
Exactly.
I love it. I got it.
And that's not an exaggeration at all.
No, I know. Not at all. So now we've come through the front door. My house has gone unsold. I think it looks pretty good. So what am I doing with the walls? Am I doing every room the same color? Talk to me about that.
Inside the house.
Inside,
okay.
Yeah.
Because before we get inside, we can spray paint some chairs or a bench to match the front door.
Ah.
Right, we can put some boldly colored planters on the front step or even plant flowers that repeat a color. And I always recommend that you repeat. So, for example, in my own house, I have a red front door, and every year I plant exclusively red flowers. So I have all geraniums. So if you repeat a color multiple times, normally three times or more, it makes a great impact, a larger impact than if you were to say do... you know, a variety of impatiens in your front lawn, a variety of colors. So repeat that color many times and make it look intentional. Again, make it look as though someone has really thought about this.
This is really outside staging.
Yes, right. You could say that.
So the flowers, so the all of it. So the flowers, the benches, the chairs, the flower pots. And we've told everybody what a wonderful house this is, and we haven't even crossed the threshold.
Right. But we're already excited just seeing... you know, the vignette outside.
I love it. I love it. So is it time to go inside?
Sure.
Okay. So now we go inside. And what are we telling sellers now about what are we doing?
About interior color in general.
Should we let me back up. We've been telling sellers for a decade or more. All of those bright colors have to go. It has to be neutral. Not only neutral lately, it has to be... Gray.
It's been the graying of suburbia, I always say. And the gray trend has been around for about a decade. But the good news, I think, is that we're finally at the end of the gray era. And so we're actually at a point, it's a good time for me to have come and talk to you, Leah, because I think right now we're in the midst of a sea change. And gray has become very, very commonplace, both for interiors and exteriors of homes. So whereas gray used to make a home special, now gray feels rather ordinary, not to mention a little depressing.
Right. But, but do we still believe in the whole clean slate neutrals?
Well, I think clean slates are always a good idea because you want your potential customer to envision themselves in your space, right? So, you know, the thing about taking away personal photos and just creating a space where the buyer can picture their family growing up happily inside is still really important. Does that mean a specific color Not necessarily, but we are switching away from gray. So while designers have been so over gray for about 5 years, it's only just now that the end user is starting to think about colors other than gray on the interior. And we're adding some bright, happy colors, like turquoise was a popular one, pink, you'll see lots of pinks in interior furnishings right now. And again, lemon yellow. Yellow is popular because it combines well with gray, and so many of the homes are gray at this time.
So do I need to, on the first floor, should I paint my, you know, my living room, dining room, den, kind of all the same color? Because I know that when people have a different color in every room, it's been considered to be disconcerting. Is that
right?
The
and
case?
Also, by using the same color, you know, in the, I call those the public spaces, you'll enlarge the space, and the walls will almost seem to disappear. They recede, so you're creating a feeling of more space in your home by staying with one light color throughout those common areas.
The light bulbs are going off over my head. So if a seller has a house that is would be considered petite,
yes,
and they might make it appear or feel larger,
yes,
painting the public spaces all the same neutral color will make it appear larger.
Right. So if you have a rabbit warren of little rooms, like many Tudors are, and in my town, Larchmont, this will definitely help because the walls that kind of interfere with the flow will seem to recede.
I love it. Write that down, everybody. I hope you got that. Let's talk about kitchen colors.
That's very interesting because kitchen cabinetry has been white primarily for a very long time. But I'm just working on a project, and I've done a couple of recently. I've got one right now in Dobbs Ferry, and we've just completed royal blue kitchen cabinets, and it's gorgeous. And actually, blue kitchen cabinets are a trend right now.
Really? Now, matte or shiny?
No, the cabinets were matte. The cabinets are matte blue. We do combine dark cabinets with a lot of white to make sure we preserve the sense of light in your space. But so that's a trend. And I did a country house recently with green-black cabinets. So this new trend of dark cabinets can actually really be gorgeous, but you've got to be careful about the accompanying colors in things like backsplashes and countertops and flooring materials.
So what would you recommend if I was looking to do dark cabinets? What would I be doing with the rest?
I do a lot of white and light and different. Of course, there are 71 Benjamin Moore whites at the moment, but I would probably combine very dark with very light.
That sounds great. I haven't seen that yet, but I'm really excited to see that. Maybe you'll let me come in and see one of these houses
when
it's
absolutely
done.
In fact, to create the wow factor, you know, a lot of people say they want their house to be wow. They want someone to say wow when they come in. So usually the wow factor is a result of contrast. So high contrast creates that wow. So black and white or dark green and white or dark blue and white will create that wow feeling when someone enters the room to look at your home.
Are you a fan of the one wall in the room that's painted a different color?
No.
Interesting. Tell me why.
It's an absolute, that's the accent wall. And it's an absolute pet peeve of mine.
Really?
So glad you asked, Leah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. You know, Matt doesn't like it either.
Why is it a pet peeve? So living within a color, within four walls of a color, is a completely different experience than looking at a color. And that's why when we look at little swatches of color in the paint store, they look nothing like the way they'll ultimately look on our walls.
Right.
So I always think the accent wall is the failure to commit. You're really afraid to do a whole room in a color. So you do just this one wall. And the result is instead of living in that color, you're looking at that color. So it's almost not a part of the space.
If you make it a separate, it's a separate being.
Yeah, it's not part of the experience.
Right.
And the other thing about accent walls is that normally they're recommended to create architectural interest where there is none. So actually, rarely in Westchester County, because we have so many charming homes, rarely do I find that we're in a situation where we have little or no architectural interest. Almost, you know, it's possible almost all the time to find some architectural details that are far more interesting than that fourth wall that's painted a different color.
I love you for that. So what we're going to do, Matt's got...
I just had a question.
Yeah, please. Sure. Matt's got a question.
I was just wondering, where did that trend first originate?
That's been around for a long time, and I'm sure that some interior designer somewhere thought of it, or the paint company thought it was a good idea. But I still do. But people are generally very afraid of color. So I'm certain that it came from this idea, like, let's experiment with color without fully committing.
It's fear of commitment. I totally get it.
It's like being in a marriage with one foot out.
I love it. I think that's great. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I wonder, Deborah's going to help us figure out how to deal with the 71 shades of white that exists. So you're listening to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro on Westchester Talk Radio.
You'd probably rather use that extra cash to buy a new car, but the contaminated soil around your oil tank needs attention. Northeast Environmental is Westchester's premier provider for underground storage tank removals and environmental services. Call Northeast Environmental, 777-1930, and take care of your dirt.
Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro on Westchester Talk Radio. I, of course, am Leah Caro, president at Park Sterling Realty, headquartered in beautiful Bronxville Village, serving Westchester, Putnam, and Bronx counties. And today, with me today is Deborah Kling, who is a professional color consultant, and I have learned so much already. And I want to remind everybody, if you missed the first segment or you want to hear it again, you can always go to westchestertalkradio.com and listen to my May podcast, because what did I learn in the last 20 minutes? I learned that you paint your front door yellow is a great color, but you have to take into account the orientation of the house, because not every yellow is created equally. I have learned that dark cabinets and kitchens is very cool. I've learned that gray on your walls is very over. We're over it. And I learned that the folks who have the three walls painted one color and the fourth wall painted that other color have a fear of commitment. Did I just get all that right?
Good summary, Leah.
Excellent. So now we're going to carry on, because there's still so much more to talk about. And we've learned that, you know, gray, which we realtors and stagers have been talking to our clients about for a decade.
Yes.
As the neutral. And that all these formal public rooms should be painted the same color, but that gray is out. So then the question is, so what is in?
So what is replacing gray? What is our new gray? So I think that warm whites have come in to replace gray as sort of the go-to neutral color.
What's a warm white?
Right. So I think the count is about 71 Benjamin Moore whites. So just saying that white is replacing gray doesn't help an awful lot, because there are so many whites and it's difficult to choose among whites.
But, yeah, 71 shades of Benjamin Moore white.
Right. So it's warm whites because gray is cool. Gray is considered a cool or cold color. So it's only natural that the pendulum swings the other way, and now we want our spaces to feel more warm and inviting with a warm neutral. So warm whites will have what I call a little bit of sunshine. So they might be a little bit creamy or a little bit taupey. They might combine some gray and some brown, because there are cool grays and warm grays, which would make a warm feeling white. So there are certain warm whites that are definitely not desirable right now. So whites that have a lot of yellow, or that we used to call beige, are very
We don't want to go
forbidden.
With those.
Right, no.
They're verboten, but why is that?
We want to avoid beige. I think because beige still reminds us of our mother's or grandmother's beige houses.
Got it. So we want to be cool and current.
Yes. So we don't want beige, but we want warm. So there's a very fine line between a warm white and one that now becomes beige.
So you guys can't see this, but I am holding right now, Deborah has brought to me, one of those big, I'm sure there's an official name for this.
A fan deck.
I am holding a big old fat,
these
which as a kid
whites,
I used to
Leah.
Love these.
These are all
And here's all the whites. So can you, without, you know, I know everybody's home is different, and every seller and owner and buyer are different.
Right.
But so can you give me an example here of a warm white? Do they have names like anymore? Are they all numbers
they all,
now?
So they have names and they have numbers. I think whites that are slightly taupey, such as Ballet White by Benjamin Moore, Soft Chamois by Benjamin Moore, these are colors that still have a touch of gray, but also a touch of brown in the white, and brown and gray combine to make taupe.
Ah.
So they're slightly taupey whites.
And that makes them warm.
Without being unnecessarily creamy, like linen white. I don't know if you remember the color linen white.
Oh, sure.
But when I lived in New York years ago, it was the default paint color for every Manhattan rental apartment. It was linen white, and it was kind of yellowish. And now when we see linen white, the walls look almost dirty before we, as soon as the paint goes on, before we even live there.
Right.
So we avoid anything that's reminiscent of linen white to beige. So I would say about as linen-y as I will go is a color called White Dove, which is a popular, very popular color.
So you said chamois was one.
And soft chamois has that chamois touch of taupe.
And what was the other one?
The other one was ballet white.
Ballet white.
Which also is a combination of gray and brown in the white.
That is terrific. I'm so glad you've given us those tips, because I look at this color deck and it just, it's mind-boggling, and I wouldn't even know where to start.
But the other thing that's wonderful about those colors I mentioned is that because they do contain some warmth but also some coolness, still a little bit of gray, it's very easy to furnish and decorate around those color walls, because they will accommodate both warm and cool color furnishings.
So let's talk about furnishings for a moment, because you know, maybe it's just me, but I am not a huge fan of decorating my entire house around furniture and all, and and knickknacks or whatever you want to call them, art especially, around the color I painted my wall. Is that crazy? I mean,
no, not at all. I always say, for art, it should not match your decor.
Thank you.
You must love a painting or a work of art, and it will always work for you in your space.
Great.
You have to fall in love with it. That's all.
Right. I know people who are looking for a new piece of art, and they want to make sure it matches the couch. And I'm like, oh, this makes me nuts. So that they shouldn't do that.
I agree with you. Though there are people who see it that way, and there are professional people like decorators and interior designers who might see it that way. I personally don't. I think you just have to fall in love with a work of art.
Got it. So now all of our public spaces, and I love that word because you defined public spaces. That's your living room, your dining room, your den, your first floor public rooms.
Right.
Are these nice warm whites, and the kitchen is going depending upon, of course, the cabinets and the backsplash
right.
and the counters.
There's not normally a lot of wall space to paint in a kitchen.
Right, true. So now, is there any tips, secrets, trends for bathrooms?
Bathrooms. Well, powder rooms have always been a place where you could have some fun and create, even an exotic atmosphere if you want. So recently I've been doing some Moroccan themed, because I do full-scale interior design as well, because I often start when people are moving their households and they're about to paint and they need to stain their floors. And most people like to do that before the move-in date, because they don't want to breathe in some of the chemicals involved, even though they're much, much better today than they used to be because of new environmental protection standards. So actually, we're not breathing in the toxic chemicals we used to be breathing in, for the most part.
That's good.
In apartments and condos and co-ops in New York City, they often don't allow you to use oil-based floor stains anymore. The co-op boards require that you use water-based stains. So a lot of water-based paints and stains have been developed in response to the new EPA regulations.
And that's terrific. So if you had to live through your painting project, you could.
You could. You open the windows and you absolutely can. Much better than you could, years ago.
So, we were just talking about powder rooms. And, powder rooms, so many powder rooms I see, and I kind of like it. Uh-huh. I hope I'm not, uncool. I kind of like wallpaper.
Right. So a powder room is a common place for wallpaper, and you can really have some fun and do some vibrant colors or even do a theme. So I was saying that I was doing recently some Moroccan style powder rooms with Moroccan lighting, hand-blown Murano crystals and colors, great wallpaper, tile. There's so much you can do in a powder room. And the reason is that people, hopefully, are not spending a lot of time in a powder room. They're passing through.
Right.
So in a powder room, you could live with a color that you might not be able to spend a lot of time with.
And it's also a much smaller space.
Yes. And it makes it feel more intimate. Absolutely.
Cool. So is wallpaper back? I feel like I'm seeing it more than I used to.
Oh, yes. Wallpaper is back in a big way. And in fact, it's a very making handmade and hand-printed and hand-blocked wallpaper in Brooklyn is a very cool thing, a very cool trade to be in right now.
So, and that's interesting, because we always, in Westchester, we count on the Brooklynites coming north when you know, when they've decided to get out into the burbs.
Right.
So maybe if someone was selling their house or thinking about selling, they might want to explore that to have the edge on their competition for the Brooklyn audience.
Well, for, you know, for Brooklyn people, I'd even go one step further in that I've been doing a lot of very, very dark house exteriors, meaning black barns, almost black lake houses, and even I've done a couple of black houses here in Westchester County.
What style architecture?
So that particular one was almost a Frank Lloyd Wright kind of architecture. So even though it wasn't looking too cool, it was looking a little bit worn at the beginning of the project. By the time we put a coat of black paint, it suddenly was very cool. And these were people who were transplants from the city,
the
from Brooklyn.
From Brooklyn.
Yeah, if they're living in Brooklyn now and they have a country house, they often will do some edgy kinds of colors on the outside of the house. And that's kind of a signal to the whole neighborhood. Okay, some Brooklynites have moved in.
So that they're cool. So, you know, that's a really, you know, and isn't, I think it's kind of funny that now we can just say the word Brooklyn and we all understand that's a whole variety, you know, specific kind of group
Brooklyn
of people.
Sells.
Yeah. So if we're trying to attract that kind of a Brooklyn feel, or literally people from Brooklyn to do the kind of hip new things that you,
right.
even though you may never want to live with that yourself,
mm-hmm.
if you're a seller, that's not why you're doing it. If
right.
you're doing it to sell.
Right.
And so that these are things that maybe
right.
people should consider.
Yes, but I would still do it in small doses because you want to appeal to the widest possible buying audience.
That's true. You don't want to pigeonhole it to Brooklyn.
Right. Right. So, but you could, but a little powder room is the perfect place to do that. House numbers, you know, some colors that are a little bit edgier.
I think that's great. Now, you know, do we have to, if I own a Tudor,
mm-hmm.
which I do actually.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Do you have to stay within the kind of Tudor feel, or is that, or do you, or can you kind of make it a little edgy and do something?
You can. You know, you can do a very, even though the shell of the house is a Tudor, you can do a very modern interior. But I find that the key to that is to be consistent throughout. So, because, again, you only notice colors and, in fact, you only notice built environments in relationship to the environments around them. So if you're going to really go on a modern binge, I would say that you really have to be consistent and make the whole interior white, say, including, and then do some really cool Japanese style lanterns or, you know, some modern furniture and modern design. I think you would have to do it throughout because you wouldn't want the constant reminder once you're inside that, yes, this is a Tudor house. So it can be done, but it has to be done consistently and well, I think.
I think you're right. Could you do mid-century modern in a Tudor house?
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You could do that.
You could.
If you stay,
as long as you really know what you're doing.
Yeah, if you kept with simplicity and very clean lines throughout. Again, I would link all of the common areas with a very light color if I were doing that. It can work, and I've actually seen people put quite modern steel windows in their Tudor houses again lately.
Really?
And it works.
Everything
because
old
actually,
is new again.
Exactly. Originally, we had steel casement windows in Tudor houses. So now we have black steel casement. I did it in my own house, actually. Black windows again, which in one sense was very true to the original architecture. But now black steel windows are very hip again.
They're hip again.
Yeah.
Good to know. And maybe someone who's got those existing old ones can maybe get them refurbished.
Exactly.
And then really be kind of authentic
and
about it.
And in a Mediterranean house, it works very well also.
I hadn't even thought of that.
And you'll see on new builds, you'll even see colonials now with all black windows.
Now,
I saw that actually.
One or two are popping up, right?
There's one in Scarsdale that was just built.
Yep. I think I passed that one.
You are cutting edge. You really are. So, you know, we've talked about the warm whites, which
right.
we're all going to use now instead of, because warm white is the new gray.
Right.
And for making a nice neutral palette for sellers or maybe even if someone for their own taste.
Yes.
But if now you've bought your house, you're moving in, and you don't want to be that neutral. What are the cool, I know every year, isn't it Pantone comes out with the two big hip colors
yes.
for the year?
Yes.
So what do we got?
Well, emerald green is very big this year. There was a spring green that was color of the year, was a Pantone color of the year. And the Benjamin Moore color of the year was actually a very, very saturated red.
And so where are we putting a spring green?
So, you know, so powder room is a great place. a child's room. I could see a deep, shiny green, maybe a high-gloss green in a library or study. That would be great, right? Red also for a library or study. Just completed a project where we refurbished the study in all walnut built-ins, and the walls are red.
You know, I'm kicking myself because my family room slash den study at home was red until we recently did windows about 3 years ago. And you know what? We painted the darn room gray. I'm kicking myself.
It's only paint. We always say it's only paint, and it's actually the least expensive way to make the biggest impact in your home.
Important to remember. Everybody write that down. So, in fact, that leads in perfectly to my next question, which was, you know, I want to enjoy my home and I want to have it look good and current and all of that. But, you know, color changes or color, you know, the color, the flavor of the month, the color of the year changes every year. How often do I need to keep up with the times and change the color of my house?
I think when your house needs painting is the time to consider your colors. You know, and unless you're doing a specific project, you know, in a specific room and you're doing a complete interior design project and then you want to change colors, that would be a good reason. But other than that, I think, you know, the natural time to reconsider colors is when you're painting your home. So it's not all that often, right?
And how often is that?
I think everyone is different, but I know that for exteriors, for example, Benjamin Moore actually guarantees its exterior paint for 10 years. So a good exterior paint job should last almost that long.
And that's like on a clapboard house, I'm assuming.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of variables that could affect that, but
and I guess inside it goes to wear and tear. A bunch of kids and a dog and mine's going to be shot long before someone else's.
Right. But there are all these products today. Today we have washable matte paint, it's called. So it's a new sheen level. It's called washable matte. So it's someplace between a flat paint and an eggshell paint. People used to use a lot of eggshell because it was wipeable, but now there's this new category. So there, you know, and the other thing that's new that's kind of cool is temporary wallpaper. So wallpaper that gets put on and can easily be removed. So it's not a decades long commitment.
I love that. I absolutely love
especially
that.
Especially like for contact kids' paper. Rooms. Right, especially for kids' rooms. I know that I'm doing a project right now in Pelham, and the child is moving with his family from New York City, and he wants a skyline of New York in his bedroom. So we can actually, you know, there's a company that actually will make a poster to the exact measurements of his wall, of the New York City skyline, and you can order it in such a way that you can order it as regular wallpaper, but there's a new product now which is really removable wallpaper, so it's almost like a huge decal that you can remove later on.
I love it because, you know, when we ask some of our sellers to take down some old wallpaper that just maybe, and I know wallpaper's back, we were just talking about that, but it's old or it's in a terrible condition. And the problem with it is the darn glue underneath.
Yes,
and
it's right.
Oh my God, it's a nightmare getting
it's usually
that paper
labor
off.
Intensive.
Really
and
labor
expensive.
Intensive. And what do you think of painting over the old wallpaper?
Never.
Never. Okay. I'm learning so much today, folks.
Because you'll see those seams. I know that sometimes people who are selling their homes do it in a pinch because of that issue of removing the wallpaper. But seeing those seams, I think, is a big giveaway. So the buyer would ultimately realize that they'll have to do that large job on their own once they purchase the house.
If you have temporary wallpaper, does it still leave a residue?
It really doesn't leave a residue. It's a very scrubbable kind of a situation. You may have to paint, but you're not going to have the difficulties involved in wallpaper removal.
I love it. That's such a great, like a cheat almost.
Right.
It's just such
something
a great
new.
Way to do it. Yeah. So we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more color with Deborah Kling, professional color consultant and interior designer.
Thank you.
Contractors, can't find the construction equipment you need?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. Durante Rentals has it all, from skid steers to cement mixers, light towers to mini excavators, generators to scissor lifts. Our equipment is always available and always well-maintained.
Are you worried about employee downtime due to equipment delivery delays?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. At Durante Rentals, on-time delivery of your construction equipment is our priority.
Is your job site located in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. With 7 metro area locations, Durante Rentals has got you covered.
Do you want to be treated as more than just a a number?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. As a family-owned business, customer service has always been Durante Rentals' number one priority.
Are you looking to save time and money on your next construction project?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. The friendly and knowledgeable staff at Durante Rentals makes renting equipment easy and affordable.
With locations in Mount Vernon, the Bronx, West Nyack, Flushing, Queens, Carmel, Elmsford, and Brewster, call Durante Rentals at 1-800-DURANTI or click DuranteRentals.com.
Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service. Call 1-800-DURANTI today. News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro on Westchester Talk Radio. I, of course, am Leah Caro, president of Park Sterling Realty, headquartered in beautiful Bronxville Village, serving Putnam, Westchester, and Bronx counties. With me today is Deborah Kling, a professional color consultant. And, you know, this is our fifth episode of Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro. And every show has been interesting, and every show has been well received. But this one, without insulting my former guest, may be my favorite show.
Oh, thanks, Leah.
Because I'm learning so much. And, you know, just at break, we had a couple of conversations in here that I want to tell some folks about. So at break, one of the agents in this office who's recently moved said, oh, Deborah, I have a question for you. I have this house, and the exterior is a creamy, kind of yellowy, okay kind of shade. I don't really want to paint the whole exterior. It's in good shape, but what color should I paint my front door? Which is what some of you were just talking about. What did you tell her?
Benjamin Moore Hidden Falls.
Describe Hidden Falls.
Which is a very dark blue-green kind of color. And one thing I was reminded of when she asked me that question is that when you do paint your front door or your shutters or the exterior of your home for that matter, you should generally choose a color that is darker than you think and start testing there, because people always grossly underestimate the power of the sun to alter our perception of color.
So you mean, so I should go darker than what I, because
absolutely,
the sun will kind of break it down.
Absolutely.
Dilute it.
Usually for shutters and doors.
Go darker.
Yep.
So that made me think of something else. When I bought my house, which was now 14 years ago, and my husband and I were painting it for the first time, and we really wanted to change. It's a Tudor, but we wanted to change the whole tone of the house, mm-hmm. and put up above the garage five swatches of paint, and each one was like 3 by 3 feet, mm-hmm. so it wasn't these little tiny things, and let it sit up there for, I think, 2 months.
Wow.
While we decided every day we'd look at the time of day and the seasons a little bit to decide what color. And then at the end, when we picked a color, we lived near a school.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that the whole neighborhood had participated in choosing the house color
with
us. They all voted. And when we picked the color, a bunch of people came to us and said, oh, we're so glad that's the one we picked too.
I hear that story many times.
So tell me about how people, or tell folks how they should practice with their swatches and live with a color for a little while.
Right. So you did exactly the right thing, because color changes dramatically throughout the year. So in different seasons, different times of day, and in different weather conditions. So I always like my clients to be really prepared for the color that they're ultimately committing to. So the best idea is to observe the color on the outside of your home in exactly the place that color will be. Because, for example, if you're testing a color that's going to be on the siding in the front of your house, but you're testing on the back, and I see people do this all the time, it's going to look completely different on the front of the house. So I always say, choose a side. Usually you have to choose just one side. Some people have corner lots, so they actually look at color on two sides. But I always say, pick the most important side. And then the time of day you want to love that color is when you're driving home from work at the end of the day. And you want to say, I am so happy to be home.
I love that. So you want to be able to pull up to your house and say, I am home. And it feels
right.
So good.
That's what I think, yeah.
I think this is like the best advice today. So is there a size that swatch should be?
Well, it should be as large as possible. That was the right thing to do.
Like the whole front of the house, because then it's
right.
Then it's painted.
As large as you need, and actually most painters, as part of their contracts, will do that part of the job for you, and they expect you to ask them to put samples on the house. So don't be shy about that. I have people buying little jars themselves and testing it. Not necessary. Your painter will do it. When I work with a client, I normally send them 8x10s of colors, hard copies of colors that they can just adhere to their house with blue tape and observe over time, so they don't have to bother with all of those little testing samples.
Oh, and so using that at the physical swatch is good enough. I mean, that's...
Well, it'll give you a very good idea. And then depending on what your house is made of, even that color may look different when you apply it in paint. So for example, stucco, which you spoke about, absorbs a lot of color and a lot of paint, and it has a rough surface. So rough surfaces reflect light and therefore color differently than, say, very smooth surfaces. So if I were to use the exact same color on a Tudor stucco house and then use it on, say, cedar shake on a colonial house, that color will actually appear different.
You know, this is all just so fascinating. I know I'm going to be re-listening to this podcast.
Yeah, so you can't go to your neighbor's house and say, I want, and ring their doorbell and say, what color did you use? I want to use that color on my house. I mean, you can.
Right, but it won't work.
But I can almost guarantee you that the color will look completely different on your house. And in fact, many clients have called me after they've done that. And they said, I don't understand. I loved it on my friend's house, but on my house, I'm living in a frog. I had it with green on a stucco house, actually.
And I think we've all done that, where we look at another house and we just assume it'll look the same on
and
ours.
Maybe they're across the street, so their orientation is the complete opposite of your orientation.
Wow. So we were talking at the break also about painted brick.
Yes.
And I didn't get to hear what your thoughts on that were.
Well, I happen to love the look of a white, appealing white colonial brick house.
So do I.
I happen to love that look. But people often come to me with the question if they want to paint their house and they have brick that's not particularly attractive, say 50s style brick on a ranch house. I'm doing one right now in Briarcliff Manor like that. So the people don't really like the brick. It's not a particularly beautiful brick. And the question is, should they paint it or not? Because they want to do this sort of modern farmhouse look, which is trending right now. It's a very big look. So it's a very simple, clean kind of look. And this particular house lends itself well architecturally to that possibility. And I did advise them to just paint the brick. They hate the brick. Paint the brick. Paint it white because it'll look fine and great to start, and then it'll eventually start peeling.
Right, and it'll have that like nice speckled look to it, which I really like.
Right, so if you hate some... And that's the other funny thing that people do. People pick a feature of their homes, either inside or outside. Often it's the fireplace brick, say, and they really hate that brick. But then they'll work with that element and tie it into their decor, which is a big mistake. I always say that if you hate something and you make other furnishing decisions around it, you'll hate it even more. You'll still hate it. So if there's something in your home you really hate, I say ignore it. Let's try to distract from it rather than use it.
I think that's great advice. You know, it just made me think about something else. You know, in southern Westchester, there's a lot of old homes.
Yes.
With most spectacular, rich woodwork.
Yes.
Paneling. And I don't mean that paneling from the 70s. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about that rich moldings and paneling and banisters.
Rooms. Yeah. Three quarters of the way up.
What do you think of the folks out there who have painted their
wood?
You
can. You absolutely can paint.
I know, but is it a sin to do so?
No, it's not a sin to do so because, in fact, I gave a talk about this subject to the Larchmont Historical Society a while back, and the topic was, how do I make my historic home, my historic older home, how do I adapt it to a modern family? So even though you want to respect the bones and the architecture and the history of your home, that doesn't mean you have to translate it in a very literal way and keep it so true to its history. So, for example, you can take that dark paneling in the dining room that goes three quarters of the way up and paint it white. And in fact, sometimes we get gorgeous results with that. So, you know, if say it's the playroom, and say you've got little kids in there, you know, they could really get depressed surrounded by all that dark paint.
Right.
Because color affects you.
Mm-hmm,
it really
sure
does. For example, I always tell people if they have a room for the au pair or the nanny, paint it sunny and yellow because you want her to be in a really happy mood when
good
she
mood,
wakes up.
For sure. You know, you talked about speaking at a historical society just now.
Yes.
I know you get called on a lot by the media and the news because you are so good at what you do. In fact, we were talking about when the movie 50 Shades of Grey came out. And will you tell everybody what happened then?
When that movie came out, the Wall Street Journal contacted me, and they were doing an article in the at the at the time it was the equivalent of their home section. Now it's part of the real estate section, I think, actually. And the name of the title of the article was 50 Shades of Gray at the Paint Store. Because they knew of this trend of gray. And to tell you the truth, even then, I was saying that I think that gray is coming to its end.
The demise of gray.
Well, it was a lot of gray. Yeah, so gray was everywhere, including the movie theater. So
I love it. And yeah. I love that, you know, you get called on by these real news sources for input. So mm-hmm. if the consumers and listeners wanted to talk to you, how would they reach you?
Well, I'm very active on social media, so they can follow me. I'd love them to follow me on Instagram. So
what's your Instagram address?
So I'm under Deborah_Kling_Color_Consultant.
Now it's Deborah, D-E-B-R-A.
Yes, Kling, K-L-I-N-G, _Color, C-O-L-O-U-R. You can ask me why later. I'm not British. And Consultant.
And Consultant. So
that's
Deborah
one way.
_Kling mm-hmm. _Color with a U. _Consultant on Instagram.
And I have a website with the same name, so www.deborahklingcolorconsultant.com also has a U, but here I was a little bit smarter, and I also purchased the URL without the U, so that people wouldn't make that common spelling
mistake. That was really
mistake.
Smart. Right. So, and if I go to your website, I can get your phone number, and I can email you. And
yes, you
like
can
that.
Contact me right through my website.
This has
Absolutely.
Been an invaluable conversation for me today.
Oh, thanks.
It really was. And I'm hoping that anyone out there who is either already on the market or thinking about coming on the market will re-listen to this with a pen in hand so that they make careful notes and to get their houses ready. Or for anybody who's just loving their house but not loving the colors in it, now might be the exact time to make a change with all the
right.
new cool colors out.
Right.
And you know, and if you need help, you know, there's nobody better to call than Deborah Kling for input. Is there no job too small, Deborah? How does that?
Almost no job too small. Almost no job too small. I am very busy in the spring, so that's why I say almost in the spring.
Almost. Is there a time of the year that that it's easier and better to call on you? We can't paint the house in
right,
December though,
that's,
right?
That, the reason spring is so busy is because that's when exterior painting starts. And actually there are very, very few people who know about exterior color in Westchester County. I may be the only one who does this. So we have interiors and exteriors in springtime. And in summer, when it starts getting hot, I think the painters prefer not to be on those ladders when it gets really hot. But for the rest of the year, we do interiors and exteriors. And I think wintertime is also a great time because painters normally give breaks in the winter for contracts.
Good to know.
Yes.
You are
because they
had
the same issue. They do exteriors and interiors when the weather is nice, but in the winter they generally have fewer projects.
I love it. You're a wealth of information. So
thank you.
I can't thank you enough for being with us today.
Thanks for having me,
Deborah Kling, professional color consultant. You are listening to Westchester Talk Radio. You're listening to Talk Real Estate with Leah Caro.
Give your home or office a facelift. You want to relax outside with a nice glass of wine, but you need to paint the house. You want to hit the links for a round of golf, but you need to paint the house. You both are ready for your vacation, but who will paint the house? Facelifts will. It's time to give your home a new look. They are the professionals to call when your home or business is in need of a paint job. Facelift staffs only highly trained interior and exterior painting specialists. Just select the color you want or use their trained color specialist and let them do the rest. Any size house, indoors or outdoors, they get the job done quickly, professionally, at your convenience and to your satisfaction. Plus, they offer repair work, power washing, carpentry, and generator installation for your home or office. Is your home in need of a facelift? Get to do all the things you want to do by letting Facelifts paint and remodel your home. Easy to deal with, easy to get in touch with. Licensed and fully insured. Call 914-806-8627 or visit faceliftspainting.com.
Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Westchester Talk Radio, talking real estate with Leah Caro. We're just about winding down the show here, so thanks for listening to our fifth installment. And if you didn't hear it all, or you want to hear it again, or you want to hear some of the back episodes, please go to westchestertalkradio.com, scroll down to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro, And you can take a listen. You know, today's segment with Deborah Kling, professional color consultant, was fascinating to me. It occurs to me that there's about 50 things I still wanted to ask her and didn't have the time. So I think we're going to be bringing her back maybe this fall so we get a new perspective of in a different season and hear what's happening then. In the meantime, next month, June, we will be hosting our Talking Real Estate program with David Singer of Robeson, where I think we all know them as Robeson Oil, but let me tell you folks, they are much more than oil. So we'll have him in to talk all things environmental, so that should be interesting. So what are you doing this weekend? Well, on Sunday afternoon, somewhere between 1 and 4, if you're not sure, please check out some of our open houses. We have new listings coming on the market, and we're having public open houses in Pound Ridge, in Yonkers, in Bronxville, in Fleetwood. So if you go onto our website, ParkSterlingRealty.com, you can look for open houses there. You can also follow us always on Facebook, Park Sterling Realty. We post them there. And of course, Instagram. And I'm going to be following Deborah Kling on her Instagram and social media accounts because she's just, I'm really fascinated by her. So we're thanking her again and thanking all of you for tuning in. And we will see you next month. Have a great month. Bye.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better. Shark Creative.